All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Wednesday on The Usual Suspects in the big city. Everybody present and accounted for here in the studio. Nick, Barry, Joel, we're going to be with you for the next 3 hours. So hopefully fasten your seatbelts, take us along for the ride as we chop it up about sports, entertainment, and other things. Fellas, what's going on?
Why was it so cold in here to start the show?
What did you, I don't know.
It's always cold in here
on my side.
Oh, my. Now, y'all know usually I'm the sweaty fat guy. I got to have the AC down because I'm sweating and my pits are all wet. And I'm disgusting. I walked in. It was like an igloo in here. And little ass Charlie, I was like, do you have it this cold? He's like, yeah, it was a little warm in here like a sauna. So I prefer it to be cool. It was cold, like just straight up cold.
Well, he's a New Yorker, impressed. So he can handle it.
As I forget about that. But he's been here so long, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, usually when you've lived here long enough, you don't get used to cold weather as much, right? Isn't that how it goes?
I would think. I mean, Joel's from up north. I would think you'd get used to it at some point down here.
I think your blood adjusts. I do. I mean, I think mine has. I've told you guys, too, it's also the fact that with the humidity in the air, whatever the temperature is, if it's 10, 15 degrees warmer than it is in Wisconsin, if it's getting closer to, like, 40, high 30s, it's colder here than it would be back home because of the humidity, which makes it kind of chillier. Problem you got with these studios is it can be ice cold here, and two rooms down, it can be like a sauna.
I will say this, you're right about the humidity, because it felt colder outside than normal today. Like, I brought a jacket, but it's only like 57, 58, but I think because of the humidity, it made it feel a little colder than it really is out there. But I'm enjoying it. I'm not looking forward to this weekend.
It's supposed to get real cold?
No, I'm going to Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Friday and
real
Saturday.
Cold for you.
I'm in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'm in the Twin Cities until I come back Friday. Well, I come back Sunday. It's supposed to be cold. It's like snowing, and I'm not that guy.
Say what's up to Coach Tibbs for me. Oh, wait. He gone.
Yeah, I'm not ready for this. It's going to be fun, but cold as hell. So
don't use the word gay in anything that you do.
Why?
Because last night, Andrew Wiggins decided that based on some things that went down on the court that use that term, and then meant that he had no disrespect to
LGBT. So did he say, man, that's gay, no disrespect?
He was acting gay.
Oh, he said I was acting gay?
No, not you. He was saying on the court, Dennis Schroeder was. And then he had to follow it up with a tweet. Then he had to apologize with a tweet. And
that is the world we live in now.
And there you go.
That was never I heard somebody talking about that. Like, that was never a big deal to us. It was never intended to be mean or mean-spirited when you said that. And I agree, but what you gonna do? People get offended. You can't tell people what they can and can't get offended by.
So when you go up north, do you have winter gear? Because, I mean, literally, I ain't kidding. It's going to be probably about 20.
Yeah, I have a really big-ass jacket. Now, I will say the good news is I'm not flying Spirit. Since I'm headlining, I got headliner money. I don't have to fly Spirit. So I get to fly on a normal airline. I'm flying Delta. I get my kids. So I should be able to pack a jacket. I do have a really big, like, thick down jacket, but I'm not taking that. That'll take up way too much room. Well, my plan was this. Oh, do you tell me if this is okay?
Okay.
I was going to take a couple of thermals.
Yes.
A couple of sweatshirts, and then maybe like this jacket, which is a down jacket. And so I would have on a thermal, a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, and a jacket. And I should be okay. It's not like I'm going to be playing.
Right. And the thing
it'll be from here to the Uber, to the Uber, to the club and back. Drunk probably coming
it's
back.
It's also
too.
A carry-on. A jacket is fine. So they would let you take the big jacket. Yeah. But the biggest key to going to any cold weather city, especially for people from here, is layering. So I would suggest dry fit, like, you know, the dry fit kind of tighter fitting undershirts. If you have any kind of long johns.
I was going to say, should I take long john leggings?
At least one pair.
Really?
Yep.
I don't think I have any anymore. I had some when I was, you know, young and skinny. I don't think I've purchased
Well, the long john leggings won't work with your skinny jeans.
Well, it's going to make it less skinny. It's going to make it more.
It's going to make your skinny, it's going to be more compact. Wait, do you have stretchy skinny jeans?
All my jeans are stretchy.
Yeah, so it's going to look weird. It's going to look like poofy. Like
I'm going to look thick. Be like, yo, that dude, you never heard a dude described as thick. I'll be the first one. I'll be like, that dude's thick.
No. Because here's the thing. Going up there, nice you're going to be anorexic.
Really? Oh, based that's
on,
true.
Based on what you're competing with, they're going to think, who's the skinny guy on
stage? So you're telling me I can't do any of my fat jokes while I'm there? I got like 6 minutes of fat jokes.
Oh, you can. Just be aware that they're not going to like it too much. And if they're drinking some beers, hey, it's going to be on.
Was it going to be like 70% fat people in the crowd?
That's going to be great.
Let me just say this. It will be predominantly plaid wearing,
okay,
non-color coordinated, overweight people.
It'll be great if they're like, hey, no fat jokes. Just do stuff on racism. Be like, what? Yeah. Yeah, don't make fun of fat people. No. Like,
are
I
you
can
from
see
down
that.
There where you say, y'all? Because right up here, we don't do that.
Now, I do know this, and I mentioned this the last time I went, but it's the home of the Juicy Lucy.
The burger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know what this is? No. So the Juicy Lucy is a hamburger, but they shove cheese in the middle of it.
Oh, okay.
And then cook it. So they ball up the ground meat. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Joel, you would know more than me. You're closer to the area. But I think they ball up the ground meat, shove a bunch of cheese in there, close the hole so that it, cheese is only in the middle. It's almost like a...
It's like a calzone.
It's like a Wisconsin ding dong.
It's
got the cream filling, but that's cheese.
Or and a, then burger, they, a burger and then they, calzone.
Yeah, and then they smash it and make the burger and more cheese on it. It's great. Then they serve it with cheese curds. It's a lot. They go cheese crazy.
Okay. It just sounded weird that you would put cheese in uncooked
and
beef.
Then you make it, yeah. But it's the Juicy Lucy. It's like their Philly cheesesteak. It's what they're known for.
And they're real good.
And there's apparently a war over who created it. So it's almost like, you know, you go to Philly and there's
Pat's
and Gino's,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing. There's two restaurants in the Twin Cities that say they both claim to be the first to make the Juicy Lucy. So it's like their version of gang violence. Like they're not a violent people. So this is, it's.
You've been to Philly?
I've been to Philly, yeah.
And you've tried both of them?
No, I went to the one where the guy screams at you if you're not ready. He was like the soup Nazi. Yeah. Like you walked up. I forget. It's the one, it's the white skinny building.
Yeah. I believe
is that Gino's?
I think that's Pat's.
So I went to Pat's and it was the most intimidated I've ever been in my life. And I'm a small dude and I was picked on in school. I was never this scared as I was ordering a Philly.
Did they warn you?
No. Because
there's people out front that will warn you, like, you better be ready. Or you are going to get ripped.
He's mean as hell. Like, me and Nora just standing there like, well, we're from out of town. This is so cool. And I get to the thing and I was like, let me get out. He's like, hurry. I was like, what? Like, he literally screamed at me like that. He goes, what do you want? I was like, I don't know. He goes, next. I was like, oh, my God, dude, really? And I had to, like, get out of line and sit there and wait and decide what I wanted.
I had no idea this happened.
Oh, yeah. He's mean as hell.
Because it's obviously when we would travel with the team, too. It was like everybody, especially the newcomers, they got to go. But here's the one thing that just a complete, like, bubble buster for everyone. You would think they use real cheese.
Cheese Whiz.
It's Cheese Whiz.
Yeah, that's the whole,
It's processed out of a can crap that they put on the sandwich. I think it ruins it, though.
No,
I think that's
it's
terrible.
So good.
Well, it's so good because of all the other stuff. The only cheap ingredient that they use is the Cheese Whiz, right?
Yeah.
Well, the meat itself is like frozen.
I like Cheese Whiz.
Warm it up.
You like Velveeta? Because that's...
Velveeta. It's processed. So is straight American cheese. There's no such thing as American cheese. That's a processed cheese food.
True, true.
Take it from someone that it grew up in.
Yeah,
was in our textbooks.
Really?
No. It was not really.
We have a whole class called Texas History in school. When you go to like 7th grade...
Ours would be one page.
Yeah. You take Texas History. That was like a whole 7th grade.
God.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Ours would be nothing but serial killers. And serial beer killers and cheese. And Harley Davidson.
Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. Yeah.
And we're the only city that has a freaking statue of a guy that was in a fictitious television.
Nope. Philly.
Oh,
they have
Rocky.
A statue of Rocky.
I've been
on the Rocky steps.
Yeah, I've been to it.
So now you're not the only ones.
Luck out, by the way.
Why?
Because I just looked at the 5-day forecast.
Uh-huh.
If you were going today, high of 15.
Ooh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Low of 11. And a double-digit win, which doesn't help.
No, that doesn't help.
But by the time you get there, what are you getting there, Friday?
I'm flying up Friday morning. I'm leaving here at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
You're a degree over freezing.
Nice. Yeah, I saw 30 and snowing, 30, right?
33 high, 23 low. No chance of precipitation. All weekend, 10%. So you're in good shape there.
Really? Because last time I looked, it said snow. So that's good. The closer we get, the more accurate it'll be.
Yeah, but that's good to know. That's a good sign. And if the sun's shining, literally there, and you guys laugh, but it actually reflects off the snow and warms things up, it'll make it feel warmer.
So I should be better with them with what I described.
Yeah, and if you layer in, like you said, you're not going to be outside that long. Yeah. Now, if you're going to a Packer game, it's a whole different ballgame. The way you have to dress and prepare is crazy. So, all right, we're just getting started on the usual suspects. You know how we do it on here, the HRP listener line. If you want to call or text the show, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. You can also hit us up via Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. We'll be back with much more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. Segment number two of the big show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We were breaking the ice, literally, possibly, as Barry gets ready to head up north, up there, don't you know, you betcha, to Minnesota. For a little comedy this weekend on Friday, and I'm interested to hear how the crowd will heckle you or say anything to you if they use the accent, which is going to be prevalent.
I would imagine this, they're like the nicest people.
I will give them that for sure.
Literally, I think Minnesotans.
You got to watch out in Chicago. You're going to get some.
Well, I'm not going to Chicago.
I know. I'm just saying. Chicago, but Wisconsin, Minnesota, there are a lot of really, really super nice people.
That's what this will be my third trip. There, but my first time headlining, but I have not been heckled, but I would imagine it'd be something like, oh, you're not that funny. I mean, you're okay, I guess. Like, they're like not mean at all. Like, you know what? Sorry, never mind. Go ahead.
You might get that. You're a few beers from being freaking hilarious. Can I get another one? You gonna buy that for me? Leinenkugels. I can stick a pencil in the middle of it, you know. Do you know that deal?
Leinenkugels?
So Leinenkugels, which was its own separate brewery, and it was eventually bought by Miller, right? But their whole thing for commercials and everything else was, when you pour it out and the head forms on the beer, if you took just a regular pencil without the tip on, you know, brand new pencil, and stuck it in the middle, it would stick up in the middle of the foam.
Because the foam was so thick?
The foam is thick.
So they're like the Dairy Queen of beer.
Like Guinness, you know, Dairy Queen, not that thick.
Well, you know how Dairy Queen will turn over your Blizzard before you get it? They're like that, right? They're like, oh, look, you can stand. Do they, when you order from them at the drive-thru, do they put a pencil in there so prove to you that
there's
the foam
no
is
drive-thru
thick?
Brewery. Although there are plenty of breweries to be had.
I was going to say, I feel like there might be. That might be a thing. You hadn't been back in a while.
But the other thing is, I was alluding to this, but everybody that goes to Lambeau, that would be a great road trip for all of us. I know Raheel got to go the last time, and the Packers the Texans don't play there next year. But if you go, like everybody calls and says, can you walk me through the do's and don'ts? Because I tell everybody layering. And the other thing is Lambeau, the seated section is not like NRG. It's not seats. It's concrete. Ooh. So they actually allow you to bring in one of two things. You can bring in a Sunday newspaper or newspapers.
What?
Or you can bring
that
in
folding chair, right?
Or no, you can bring in squares of insulation, like not like the puffy insulation, but like the compressed insulation that you find sometimes in like office buildings, like something like this, the squares in the ceiling, but they're a little thicker.
Mm-hmm.
And you get two of those because one, it's metal bleacher seats, and you get frostbite if you sit down and you're not, especially if you're not layered. If you sit all game, not only will your ass become attached to the bench probably because your butt's going to sweat and it's going to be freezing, but you could get frostbite.
Oh, damn.
And two, because of where you put your feet, it's all concrete. It's not heated. It has no warmth to it. Your feet also, the heat will get through your shoes at a certain point and freeze your feet. So you put one piece of either the Sunday paper, or you put one piece of insulation on your seat and one on the floor of the stadium to stand on, minimum. Otherwise, you suffer the chance of getting frostbite.
You know,
that's a bucket list thing for me, but that just seems like so much
work. I'll tell you what. Well, great bucket list for you. Go in September or October.
Here's what I would do.
Or November.
what you do, especially if I was there, I would take my season tickets and burn them and let that fire warm me, because I'll be damned if I freeze my ass off 8 weekends a year.
So you realize what burning money is then, because those season tickets there with the waiting list and the value and the demand, you could sell each one of those and probably pay your mortgage for the year.
I would warm my body on
the heat. Dude, I was smart about this. When I got engaged to Lisa and she wanted to become a Packers fan, I was like, we are going to the first game of the year in September. Because I knew damn well if I brought her in December, it's over. She'll never go again and she'll hate the team.
Well, that could have been strategic. Then you could have gone by yourself from then on.
Taking a friend. Well, but she did. She was pregnant the second time. That was the Dez catch game.
Oh.
And so she's like, just take Jamie, my best friend Jamie. She was, just take Jamie instead. Jamie's like, hell yeah, I'm going.
Right.
But yeah, and of course it rained like hell, but that was the only, I thought that out strategically, because if it is a bucket list thing, and the last time the Texans played there, it was perfect. I mean, it was snowy, it was cold, it was everything you wanted.
How is that perfect? That doesn't
sound perfect.
Because if
you want to experience Lambeau at its finest, you want to go when there's snow.
Okay.
Because you get to see, you know, like literally the neighborhoods are right on top of the stadium and the plows and the people are snow blowing and they're still tailgating if it's like 2 degrees outside.
Nope.
And like if they'll see you guys and right away they'll go, oh, outsiders. Then they'll say, you want a beer, a brat, sit down. Tailgates don't pack food just for who's coming. They share with everyone.
Nice.
It's very, that's the cool part of the environment.
Somebody suggested when I was in Minnesota that I go to Wahlburgers.
I didn't know there's one there.
I want to try. Yeah. I definitely want to try that.
They said go to in St. Paul. I guess Minneapolis, St. Paul. They suggested Wahlburger. So I might try it just to see how it stacks up. Because I did one of the videos I did back when the Astros were in the playoffs. I was comparing, I think, Houston and Cleveland.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Houston and Boston. No, it's Houston and Boston. That's what it was. And compared Whataburger to Wahlburger. So we'll see. I'll go and see if that rings true or not.
Because that's not that. Everybody here is Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's across the river on one bridge.
It's it's closer than Fort Worth and Dallas. Yeah.
And then you could do the Mall of Americas and see if they have
Last time I was 21. There. They have two gaps, so maybe they'll have. Well, that came out wrong.
Hey, whoops.
Maybe they will. Oh, by the way, I got to say this before we get to Paul's call and the Cowboys. Do we really want to take this?
That's what I'm going. Yeah. That's why we were talking, continuing our
discussion.
Sorry,
Paul. Maybe not. You know the Abercrombie shirt that you give me hell for?
Yeah.
Throw it away.
Really?
Why? Not the because dissolved?
No, no, not because of you. You don't get credit for this, okay?
But because?
Because Nora said, I have too many clothes, that I'm out of hangers. And she's out of hangers, and there's no more. We're not buying anymore because we have wood hangers. She has to have the fancy.
One of your shirts had to go?
No, 18.
Shirts?
Wait, you have wood hangers for everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She said it was 2019. So because we just got rid of 2018, you had to give up. I had to throw away 18 t-shirts because I have a lot of t-shirts, like a lot. So I was like, okay. So I was going through the closet.
But you hang them, right?
Some. I mean, when I have enough. I have some hung, and then I have, like, you know, three drawers full, too.
I just get those plastic tubs at Target, and just, my t-shirts are in a tub.
So I'm going through them, and I'm like, all right, I don't wear this. And then I came across the Abercrombie shirt that you guys made fun of me in that day. And I don't even think I've worn it since, because I just don't, it's not part of the regular rotation.
Does it have a number on it?
Yeah.
Nick. We need to frame that thing, and you can put it something, you know, like they hang a jersey. We just need to frame the Abercrombie t-shirt and be a part of the studio.
It could totally be a part of the studio.
We've been looking for what to put on the
wall. Sorry, guys. I threw it away.
At some point, the wall of fame with the Laminac t-shirt in a frame should go right there.
We could have, like, signed jerseys, like autographed jerseys, and then his t-shirt.
Exactly
right.
You know what's ironic about that shirt is it had the number 33 on it, which is probably the age you should stop wearing Abercrombie.
And you're on board.
And at 44, I was still wearing it. So I was going through it. I was like, you know, I really don't wear this a lot. And I was
now,
like,
if we didn't
damn
have
it,
the
Nick is going to take credit for this.
I totally take. You know well it had nothing to do.
Yeah, because you even made me like, he even like bowed up on me after the verse. He goes, you'll never wear that shirt again. I was like, bitch, yes I will. And I haven't. Just because it's not a part of my daily rotation of shirts, but damn it.
I thought you were going to tell me the pits were dissolving. You just cut the sleeves off and make it into a tank top. But we got two options. Yeah, because maybe.
It could be a good yard shirt.
Yeah, and if she hasn't counted your tank tops as opposed to your t-shirts, you could probably save.
No, that was included. I even got rid of some polos. I had to. I have way too many clothes. Because remember now, I have my fat clothes and skinny clothes. And I think most people have that. Most normal people. their weight fluctuates. Like I have a whole section of my closet of jeans that fit me when I gain weight. You don't have that?
No.
Well,
Lisa's on the whole thing about how I need to eliminate golf shirts. What she doesn't understand is they never go out of style. The collars don't change. Mm. The things don't change. So if they're
solid.
And if it's like a brand new shirt, am I just going to donate it?
No. Right.
I'm telling you right now, though, you got two options. If the station, because you know the station's not going to pay for the frame job.
No.
So we could either do it like the rafters of the arenas and hang it in the middle, hang it from the ceiling coming down like a banner for like a division championship at NRG. Just hang it straight down. Or we could put it on the wall. What else would we have on that wall?
I like the wall idea.
Yeah. What else would we have?
We could just hang it over there so I don't have to look at Nick. We just put it on the glass.
I was just going to say, if we do that with your T-shirt, I guarantee you Soccer Matters is going to have a soccer jersey on it by the end of the week.
Of course. Of course. And somebody texted the show and said, did y'all talk about the Nike Air Max that Barry bought his wife?
You know what? Here's Bro. Okay. Truth be told, right? Let's get to that for the break. Because truth be told, I interjected everybody. Without interjecting last night. And I gave a very stern warning. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll get that after the break. All right. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin.
ESPN 97.5. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the big show. Continuing to roll on. Paul, hang in there. We'll get to you. We were kicking it around a little bit about the cold, and then you mentioned before we went to break about your newest sneakerhead purchase.
So Nike came out with, I think, are these 95s or 97s? I don't know which ones they are. I don't know. But I think they're 95s.
I think they're 95s is right.
But they came out with two versions, I guess home and away Houston sneakers. One of them is purple, gray, white, black, and has a screw on the back for DJ Screw. It says HOU on the tongue. And it's purple. Well, get it? Screw, purple, drag, okay, lean. And then the other ones are the Astros colors, basically. The navy, the yellow, red.
Who's promoting those, by the way?
No.
I told Nick this last week. Dallas Keuchel is the guy that's promoting this.
And Both of them?
No, the Astros colored ones.
Yeah.
And he went out and announced it on his Twitter feed and started saying, you know, stay true to the city or like that. Dude, the responses within seconds were just
on there.
You think they got those in Arlington?
And they're just a free agent.
They were killing him. That was a dumb move.
I liked those too, but I don't like them because I liked the navy blue and all that and the yellow red, but it wasn't like that on the inside. On the instep side, it was kind of just white and gray.
I did like the area code.
So I didn't like that. Yeah, I liked the 281, but I'm comfortable enough in my manhood that I can buy these shoes and people can say they look like chick shoes and I don't care. You said you had
So here's the deal. Mm-hmm. So I saw you tweet them out.
Yep.
I was like, oh, sweet. So, you know, I don't know if that was a re-release or what that was.
These are first editions, I believe.
That's what I'm saying. Because then I didn't realize that this was the other color scheme.
For the home and away.
For the Houston shoe.
Right.
So then I see a guy chime in. And somehow or another, I don't know, I was tagged on it or whatever, but I saw a guy chime in and say to you, did you buy those for your wife?
Yeah.
And say one thing. And then I see my sister with a random, not even vaguely, closely one inkling related to what you were talking about or he was talking about. Chime in with, oh, I had some Clyde Drexler shoes that were in women's size too small, and I had to donate them to St. Vinny's. Now, first of all, I don't know if you guys even have St. Vincent and DePaul's, which is like Goodwill donations where they come to the door and they pick them up. But it took me like 2 seconds to go, delete the tweet and stay out of it because it could get ugly here. I'm warning you. And she's like, what? I go, first of all, your tweet was so far off base from what he was talking about. I was like, but Barry's about to go off on this dude. So you just need to step back and hope he doesn't come and spray one at you. And she's like, oh God, I'll delete it right now. And I was like, just stay the hell out of it. Because I knew she was drinking anyway. It was date night with her husband. They were out drinking beer. And I was like, just put the phone down, pick up the beer and the pizza, and stay out of Barry's Twitter feed. That's what I'm telling you.
That's funny. No, I didn't buy. I mean, you know, if I take shots at folks or whatever, it's usually in good fun. Rarely even if somebody comes at me, because there were plenty of people, trust me, on Twitter and on Instagram, they were like, oh, you got your wife some shoes? Oh, those are sweet. She's going to love them. Those will match the shirt you had made for girls, this shirt that I'm wearing that they said was made for girls. So, yeah, I don't care. Trust me. It was, I think I saw her tweet and was like, what the hell is she talking about?
Exactly.
I just didn't know. I just kept scrolling, whatever.
And it was my bad because I tried to warn her for her own good. And then instead of tweeting you, she decided to text me how crappy the shoe was and what it looked. I go, look, you were in Portland when you bought them when I worked for the Trailblazers some 20 some odd years ago. It doesn't matter. Just go on with your day.
That's funny.
So, yeah, I tried to avoid one extra person that you could have fun with. But all right, Paul wants to get in here, talk some Dallas Cowboys, I guess. So we'll get him in here right now. Paul, what's up?
Paul, what's up, man?
What's going on, buddy?
What's up?
I told y'all, I think, last week when I said that when Zeke Elliott, when he carries 20-plus times, they win.
Yep.
Every time.
You did.
And Houston freaking laid a freaking egg. That gives me the ass, too. But I'm just telling you, Dallas is for real.
I would agree with that. Do you appreciate the call, Paul?
Deep
thoughts. Thank you for hanging in there.
With Paul.
The question is do you think they can do it again? Do you think that they're built to make a run? To me, that's the question. Is this team?
Are you asking Powell? Or are you asking me?
I'm just saying. I'm asking you. I'm asking you guys. Paul he said what he had to say, and he said peace. So we appreciate it as always. I'm asking you guys. Are the
Nick,
Cowboys?
Is Powell Cletus's brother that called your show with Cody?
He's the one that said 20-25 catches.
Yes, exactly, right. Yep.
I mean, he's obviously a Cowboys fan. You could tell right when he called in the first time. But look. If Zeke does well,
what is that supposed to mean? No. What is that supposed to mean? You
that
can tell
he's a homer. For the okay. Dallas Cowboys.
I thought you meant because he didn't sound smart.
Which is
that's what I thought you meant. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't sound. I thought you implied.
No, I wasn't that implying he that he's not smart
because he got his words mixed up.
No,
we never do.
Right. Exactly. We're perfect on the air.
That's
we're
right.
Never. Yeah. We enunciate perfectly. Someone accused me yesterday of incorrectly pronouncing Saturn. I was like, okay.
It does sound like you're saying
that
Saturn.
That one right there was the first time you've said it where I said, what did he say?
It sounds like you're saying Saturn.
Yeah, that
Saturn.
One did.
Saturn.
Saturn.
Right. Yeah, that first time you said Saturn.
Whatever. Look, who cares? All right.
It was me that called and said that.
Was it you?
No.
It probably was you, troll. It was either you or Raheel.
I got fake Twitter accounts that I'm sending you hate on. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, he just sounds like a Cowboys fan. And I've said all along that they would make the division but not do well in the playoffs. Like, that's what I thought. They got one game in. Let's see how well they do. To me, it depends on Dak. I also made a point about his quarterback rating in the past about how he's a much better quarterback at home. Can he play well on the road in the playoffs is what I want to see.
Well, defense travels. I'll say that about the NFL playoffs. Defense travels. You saw that three of the road teams won the wild card weekend. Three road teams went on the road, and you look at the Colts. Their defense traveled, held up just fine. So, Chargers, same thing. Eagles. I think that the Cowboys team, like any of these teams, has a legitimate shot. The problem is, like when I sat down last night, I did my, because I had to get my pick to AJ. So I'm like, all right, I got to do my stupid spreadsheet. Yeah, and I ended up settling on final scores for all the games, right? And that's kind of how I based my picks off of it. And I have a score of 27-22.
That close?
Yeah. Well, the spread is 7.
Which I think is a little high, but
yeah. But I have it at 27-22, and I haven't decided which way I'm leaning as far as this. But I
27-22 for the Cowboys?
Oh, it could go either way?
No, Rams.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
No. I have Rams 27, Cowboys 22, just based on numbers and everything else that I do when I do my projections. So that tells me right now if the line was, you know, plus 5 Cowboys, it's basically a push. And as far as the odds go, but I just straight up, I would be taking the Rams in this one. And even if Ezekiel Elliott gets his 20 carries and Dak has a good game in the defense, I just think the Rams are legit offensively and defensively.
Here's the thing. There is a question mark because you wonder about the health of Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. Because
he's playing.
He's probable, which means he'll play. But at what level is he going to play? Is he going to play like midseason when he was killing everybody and he was getting catches out of the backfield and doing everything? Or is he going to be limited because he's not 100%? Because the one thing that you said other than defense that travels is a running game. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Dallas is going to see anything like the defensive line they're going to see this weekend. But I think at the same time, as much as they may have called Paul or however they got to it, but going from the 19 to 20 touches Zeke had been getting, and when you look at the stats now, when he gets 25-plus, and especially when he gets into the 30-touch range with catches and with carries, they're a totally different team. So as much as you can say it depends on Dak, I really believe if they can control the ball, and Zeke is effective, especially because, like I said, that was Sue and Donald and all those guys, that's a tough defensive line. But if they can run the football and keep the Rams from that high-powered, fast-paced, moving offense, I think Dallas – I cringe at saying it. I think Dallas has got a shot.
So are you picking them?
No.
I sit out there and he goes, no.
I think they got a shot, but I also don't think they have nearly the weapons on either side of the football as the Rams do.
So here's the logic based on the spreadsheet, not the eye test, not breaking down offenses, defenses, player versus player. When I looked at this on paper, Dallas is scoring 21 points a game and giving up 20, which means they're a plus one when it comes to points. Mm-hmm. And that's probably about, I mean, it feels about that way. Their offense wasn't great. Their running game picked up. Amari Cooper obviously didn't factor into all of these numbers. So this is for the year. This is for 17 weeks, 16 games. These were their numbers, which is fine. They're a plus one. That's good. You're on the plus side. On the flip side of that, though, the Rams scoring almost 33 points a game, 32.9 points a game, giving up 24. They're a plus nine in points. And I just think even if you just take averages and say, all right, if the Cowboys are giving up 20 and the Rams are scoring 33, that's 27 points, basically, 26 and a half. If you took something in the middle, right? Maybe they're going to score more than 20, but less than 32 or less than 33. So that's kind of how I looked at it. And it all washes out to 27-22, about a 5-point swing. Now, it's going to be interesting because, again, I think the Cowboys, the one thing that you have to take into account, this is a really confident Cowboys team. They feel like they can beat anybody.
Their defense
and with a running
well,
game
right?
and like with a defense.
But here's my question to you. With the way you do your spreadsheets, and I don't want to break it all down into the formulas, but do you factor in, like, for lack of a better term, when they were hot and what they're currently riding in terms of momentum? And I know that's hard to do, but what I'm getting at is the Rams, to build up that plus minus differential in the plus category as big as it was, mm-hmm. was based on putting up a ton of points when Cooper Kupp was still healthy, mm-hmm. when Gurley was healthy, when they were really rolling. And then you look at, and you've highlighted it over the past three or four games of the regular season, they took just a huge step back. They had a massive drop off offensively. And that's kind of, in terms of momentum, that's what they're carrying into the playoffs. They're not carrying that same kind of almost invincible, we can score on anybody and we can score a lot of points.
No, so this is just from from a numbers perspective, it's just output for the season. So it's, you know, whether they had a dip in the middle or they're hot right now like the Cowboys are offensively with Cooper and playing a lot better. But I'll say this as far as accuracy goes. When I do that and I come up with these numbers, like I come up with what an estimated score based on the average points that they scored and the average points the team they're playing allowed, mm-hmm. and that's what I come up with. Mm-hmm. Which, so far, what's been crazy about that is I've damn near nailed the over-unders in every game. For example, I have this as 27-22, which is a 49.
Right.
You know what the current over-under is? 49.5. So it's weird how it works out. I don't know how I've done that, but like I have the Patriots-Chargers as a 24-23 game, a 24-24 game. That's 47.45. You know what the over-under is in that game? 47.
Daryl is really helping you out.
It's crazy. It's weird how it worked out. But what I'm saying is it doesn't take those specific things. That's why I say it's not always the eye test, but I use that as a starting point. So right away I look at this and say this is probably a 27-21 game, something like that.
Now,
other things into account. Is there any injuries?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's hotter and all that. But right now that's just the way I see kind of the game breaking down.
Depending on how far you go back, I would go 6 games and 4 games back and compare the two teams and say,
That's a good idea.
Because how much of a surge has Dallas made since you mentioned, since they got Cooper, since they gave Zeke more touches, and how much of a step back has the Rams taken since Gurley got hurt and they lost Kupp?
Not a bad idea. Just go back and do maybe the last quarter of the season, the last 4 games,
right,
and see how they compare versus the overall. Yeah, not a bad idea. Maybe I'll do that this week.
I'm going to give you credit if indeed I'm right, which I obviously know am not right all nearly enough. This may be a Minnesota band you're playing.
Huh?
I'm going to have to research
Semisonic?
That.
Is this Semisonic?
I'm going to have to. I think, but I could be wrong. All right. So we're going to continue to roll on. The HRP
you are
listener
correct.
Line.
Minneapolis, Minnesota,
boom.
Formed in 1995.
So beautiful foreshadowing to the previous conversation about your trip to the Great White North. HRP listener line 713-780-3776. We talked a little Cowboys, lots of football to get to, including all of a sudden a deluge of, did I say that right? Coaching vacancies filled today in the NFL, with some eyebrows being raised along the way. So we'll get to those and other things as we continue to roll on The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
For something to do this weekend, visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back, still hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Got into some football, started talking Cowboys-Rams. Obviously, lots of matchups, so I take it with you being out Friday, we'll get your picks in, and we'll probably hash it up, kick it up a little bit before you leave.
I already sent my pick to AJ. For the week. I did decide. I'm going Chargers plus +4.
Oof. You know the weather's going to be a factor there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I have this game 24-23 Patriots.
Also, now, you can't factor weather into your formula, right?
Nope. This is strictly by the numbers. This is, like I said, I take into account other things. But I do use the Sagarin ratings as well. And those are basically, when you look at the numbers, the Sagarin, he goes through a ton of stuff.
Sagarin's a dude?
Yeah. Who's hot? Who's cold? I forget his name.
He thought it was Sweetener for Coffee.
Jeff Sagarin.
Jeff Sagarin. Yeah.
He's a staff guy.
He does the all USA Today stuff. Wow. So Basically the odds makers use his numbers, which is what I started with when I started developing my spreadsheets. And basically when he gives you a Sagarin difference or a Sagarin rating on the two teams, he'll give a team a rating. He factors in home field advantage based on other things. So it's always not three. Oh, it's usually like 2.7, 2.4. But he'll come up with a number. And when you see a difference, then he's basically saying, I think this team is better than this team by X amount of points. So in the Patriots, I'll give you the Patriots Chargers, for example. The Sagarin difference for those two teams is 1.99. He's basically saying that the Patriots are 2 points better than the Chargers, including home field advantage and everything else that he takes into account when he does all his stuff. Mm-hmm. So I take that, I come up with my own numbers, and then I compare it to the Sagarin rating. So my number, the spread says 4, first of all. The spread is 4, and Sagarin says it's 2. So if you were just to use those two items, you would say, well, If
take
you
the
believe
Chargers
what's
the points, right?
Absolutely. And then I'll factor it in, and I basically have them as being even, as being a 24-23 1 point difference. So why wouldn't I take the Chargers and the points? Not the straight up thing. That's why sometimes I'll do, these are my picks against the spread, but straight up, I think so and so wins the game. But I think, you know, from a numbers perspective,
that number is going to be very vulnerable and volatile, right?
Four.
Because of the fact that you don't know what Melvin Gordon you're getting either. He hurt the other knee last week, though he did return to the game.
Right.
And so you're going to have to figure out, you know, where he's going to be in terms of, can he be productive? We were talking about Gurley and Zeke, but man, that's a big factor for them because that's the ultimate security blanket for Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's 0-1. He against Brady is 0-7 all time.
Really?
And the only win was when Brady was out, and I forget which backup it was. It was Matt.
Was it Castle?
Matt Castle, I believe, was the backup that the Chargers got their only win against the Pats. So that'll be interesting because, that's going to be a huge factor in that game is if Gordon can play.
By the way, Rams 2-2 in their last four, 15-6. They lost to the Bears, 30-23. They lost to the Eagles. Beat the Cardinals 31-9. Beat the Niners 48-32. So
you're going to get big points against teams that are nicked up and not so good. Yeah. But that's why I said this is. I think this weekend's it's going to be a lot closer than
only,
people think.
I mean, their only stinker really was the Bears game. 15-6. They've hit 20s or more in just about every game they've played. So they're putting up points.
And if you look at it like that on the flip side, like you look at the Saints and you say, well, the Saints only stinker was the loss to the Cowboys, 13-10 or whatever it was. That was low scoring.
Yeah.
But then you look at what they did to the Eagles the first time around.
yeah,
and just absolutely annihilated them. And you're like, that's got to be somewhere in the middle. That's not going to be, you're not going to get that, and you're not going to probably get a 3-point game 13-10 either way. But that's going to be interesting to see, because everybody as an Eagles fan is saying, hey, guess what the big difference is? That was Carson Wentz. Uh-huh. This is Nick Foles.
Mr. Comeback.
I'm not sure I'd be that confident in Nick Foles. Yeah, again, I get it's playoff Nick Foles. I get all of that. But
great.
But that's like poo-pooing on Carson Wentz like he's chopped liver.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, biggest spread. That's the, as far as the game goes, Saints-Eagles, biggest spread at an 8. Saints minus 8. Also the biggest variance, if you take what I was telling you about the Sagarin difference and the spread. Sagarin rating has the Saints 3.74 points better than the Eagles, but the spread is 8. So it tells you I should have really taken the Eagles and the points, because Sagarin is saying they're less than 4 points apart. Right, yeah. But the 8, I just don't know if I trust the Eagles to hang with the Saints, man. That Eagles secondary, despite how they played this last game, I still don't trust them.
And they did play fairly well, but the thing the other thing too is,
I just don't trust them.
That's what I said all year long, though. The Saints at home are a totally different team. If this game was like New England, because I think San Diego has a real issue with the cold, but I think if you put the Saints on natural grass in the conditions, I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So we'll see. David wants to get in here and talk NFL playoffs while we're rolling around on this. David, what's up?
Yeah, hey, first off, I really like the show. I love listening to you guys. But,
thanks, man.
Yeah, I'm hearing about all these numbers and stuff like that, and but I'm kind of curious, you know, regarding like the Cowboys and the Rams. Like, the Rams are coming off this bye week, but the Cowboys are coming in really hot, and like the defense really is playing hard, playing fast, and it just feels like kind of like all signs are pointing to the Cowboys kind of pulling it. I know you guys don't really like the Cowboys that much, but I mean, if you had to really put your finger on it, because I mean, yeah, like Todd Gurley is not 100%. He's not 100%. Zeke's come in fresh and hot and ready too. Everybody, all signs to be pointing the Cowboys can pull this out. I want to and see what you guys think. And I mean, I really can't. But also, I'm gonna say that I can't take. I'm not gonna bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs. Can't do that. So I'll listen to y'all.
Appreciate Thanks, you, David. Yeah. First of all, I don't know anybody said that we don't like the Cowboys.
Maybe he meant don't like the Cowboys in this game. You mean?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
As a pick.
I mean, as a fan.
Callers.
I grew up as an Oilers fan, so I'm not going to lie. I have a disdain for the Cowboys and the Steelers and, you know, the other teams, the Browns. Not the Packers so much.
Because of my outfit. Because, you know, I like them, so you don't like them.
No, but, like, that doesn't keep me from being objective. If I think the Cowboys are going to win, I'm going to tell you I think the Cowboys win. I don't let the fandom get in the way.
Let's get back to your theory for a minute and what he just said. And let's get into this.
Okay.
The one thing he's not factoring in, and it goes back to what you were saying about, defense travels. But here's the thing. We're not factoring in the fact that if Janikowski can kick, they would have given up more points. There would have been more opportunities. They had to go for two. They weren't getting extra points.
Kick.
They were onside kick. Yeah, instead of field goals, things like that. So it doesn't exactly factor into the formula per se. Mm-hmm. But I think you look at it a little differently in terms of how many points they gave up and what Seattle was able to do, because it wasn't like Seattle was stifled that game.
Right.
So I think that's something to consider too. That when Seabass pulled the hammy, that changed everything.
And just going back to the whole Zeke situation, and we got a caller that said, you know, Paul told you guys if he got 20 or 25 carries. I think it would be dumb if the Cowboys didn't give Zeke the ball at least 20 or 25 times. But if you go back and look at the 5 losses, I think he's rushed for at least 150 yards in each and every single one of those losses. I think 3 of them were 200-plus. There was only one game where he had 18 carries. They've always been about 19 or 20 carries. Just because he gets those carries doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get that win. It's important. It's definitely going to alleviate some of the pressure from Dak, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee you a win if you're a Cowboys fan. I just think that's important to note, because it doesn't necessarily win the game if Zeke plays well.
Well, they know what their bread and butter is. They know offensively where they're strongest. It's not behind the arm of Dak Prescott, even though with Amari Cooper, he's looked a lot better. It may be obviously it's behind Ezekiel Elliott. And secondly, it might be behind Dak, but his legs. Look what he did.
Big time.
In the wild card round with his legs, and how, you know, that's how he hurt Seattle more so than with his arm. So, I mean, they know what they're supposed to do, run the ball, play good defense, which is a formula for success in the playoffs. playoffs. Let's not get it twisted. So I'm with you. I think that he's going to get 20 carries no matter what.
He has to.
It'd be
dumb if he didn't.
To me, one of the things to look at is Cowboys lost 6 games.
Yeah.
5 of them on the road.
Yeah, here's the other thing, Nick. That's why I said Zeke is so important, because if he is able to be effective, now Dak doesn't run the risk of hurting you by making the bad throws and the bad decisions as much as if the D-line steps up for the Rams and he's got to sling it around. Now you're looking at a totally different Cowboys team. So
yeah, I mean, I think if he's doing well, it just, I don't know if it either does one or two things. It adds more pressure to Dak or it doesn't. I mean, because it's going to be on him if he's making bad throws the few times that he is throwing the ball. If Zeke is running the ball well, it's going to be a bad look on him. But if he doesn't necessarily have to throw very well because Zeke is doing well, then he won't look as bad. There's so many variables with this Cowboys team, and that's why I wasn't necessarily sold on them in the postseason. It doesn't mean I don't like them. It just means that I wasn't necessarily sold on them in the postseason.
I think the other thing is, to your point about which one of you guys said about his rushing too, the biggest thing is they've been in his ear for a while now saying you could be Cam Newton-esque. You're a big, physical, strong kid, and he hasn't really wanted to do that. But the other thing is no one's been able to scheme for that all year because he's been reluctant to do it. But we saw what happens when he does it in a game like last week. And if they put that wrinkle in the game plan, a la Deshaun Watson, where he's a guy that you don't mind if he takes a couple of carries, called runs, but he could throw the Rams a little bit off guard too if all of a sudden he decides to do, you know, the quarterback draw, or he does a little run pass option and he takes off through a gap. That could actually be a factor for the Rams that they haven't schemed for because of the fact that they haven't seen it all year, with the exception of last week against the Seahawks.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing that's going to be interesting is how does the Rams, which I think that they have a good defense, they're obviously better in the secondary than they are at stopping the run. I think they're bottom third of the league in stopping the run. So now you're looking at, you know, a strength for the Cowboys versus a weakness for that Rams defense. That's going to be interesting. And I think what you said earlier about Todd Gurley and his health, which Todd Gurley shows up and how good is he? Because this is a team that was top 5 in rushing and top 5 in passing offensively. I'm not worried about the Rams offense as much.
Rams defense is bottom 3 in stopping the run?
Yeah.
God, who would have thought that with exactly what I was saying with their front 7 and D-line?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
All right, well, we continue to talk some football because we got plenty to talk about. And like we said, lots of coaching news across the NFL and other news coming out. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter. Hour number 2 is right around the corner. Before we hit the break, I do want to tell you that if you're a golfer out there and you're trying to lower your scores and have more fun on the golf course, I've got a suggestion for you. You should check out PXG Golf Clubs. They are the newest, latest, and greatest clubs that are on the market, and they're going to have you hitting it longer and higher. It's going to have a softer feel for you with every club you hit and provide you with more forgiveness and accuracy than any other club you're going to put in your bag. And the reviews are backing that up. They're saying the exact same things and more. And the tour pros are describing them as undeniably the best and truly the real deal. PXG customers are calling them insanely good and that they live up to the hype. And the results are right there on paper, because PXG clubs have won on every major tour around the globe and even won a college national championship. So what are you waiting for? If you want to step up your game, enjoy golf more than ever, have more fun, and lower your scores, set up a fitting right now at the Club of Carlton Woods in the Woodlands. All you got to do is call 844-PLAY-PXG, or you can visit pxg.com and book your custom fitting, and it is local in the Woodlands at Carlton Woods. PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period.
ESPN 97.5.